The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, May 18th through Sunday, May 24th, 2026. The commentary for May was written by Porter Taylor, a lifelong Episcopalian who served as the sixth Bishop of the Diocese of Western North Carolina. He is the author of three books, including his latest, Are You Persuaded? In and Out of Being a Bishop. He is married to Joe, and they live in Asheville, North Carolina. The commentary for Monday, May 18th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 3, verse 8. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ. Here's the commentary. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he introduces himself as a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and later he says, "Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me." American theologians Thomas Merton and Richard Rohr have written extensively about how a false self prevents us from being who we were created to be, and how connecting with God enables us to be our true selves. To serve God, then, is perfect freedom, because we are becoming the person we were created to be. I have let go of several jobs and opportunities, but in each case it was because they kept me from being my true self. In the long run, as I look back, I am grateful that I bypassed those occupational detours so that I could do work that brought me closer to becoming the person God created me to be. And now I'm going to read this full passage from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. I pray, therefore, that you may not lose heart over my sufferings for you. They are your glory. And the moving forward question for this Monday, May 18th, is when have you deeply felt that you are being the person that God created you to be? The commentary for Tuesday, May 19th, begins with a passage from 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, chapter 16, verse 7b. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Today we commemorate St. Dunstan, a bishop in the Church of England and Archbishop of Canterbury. An advisor to several kings, he restored monastic life in England and is credited with reforming the English Church. Dunstan offers an example of the importance of widening one's interests. In addition to serving as the head of the Church of England, he was an artist, musician, metal worker, and a writer. He fully engaged in the world. His life and witness are an important example for us today. As a bishop, I discovered how challenging it was to make space for events and interests not on the church's agenda. Yet the danger in maintaining such a narrow focus is that we miss experiencing the holy outside the church walls. Now I'm going to read from the full chapter here, this full passage from 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verses 1 through 13a. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him, for the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, when have you witnessed the holy outside of the church walls? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, May 20th. It begins with a passage from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Our baptismal liturgy calls us to keep our minds open to spread the good news, even if we think we already know everything. Alcuin, whom we remember today, was part of Charlemagne's advisors and the teacher of Charlemagne's family in the later 8th and early 9th centuries. He also wrote books to help with instruction in schools. Later in his life, he led a monastery where he continued to write and teach. A renowned scholar, one source called him, the most learned man anywhere to be found. Alcuin offers an example of what it means to live into the promises of baptism and to find ways to continue in the apostles' teaching through study, prayer, and reflection. By enlarging our minds, we enlarge our hearts, equipping us to serve Christ in all persons. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. And the moving forward question for today is, are you part of a Bible study or intentional practice of learning about the teachings of the apostles and Jesus? What steps can you take to make this a regular part of your daily life? The commentary for Thursday, May 21st, also begins with a passage from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 29. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Today's reading from Ephesians instructs us on how to be part of a community of people by holding our tongue from evil talk and instead speaking what is useful for building up. We practice being kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving. As a longtime member of AA, I can attest that one of the most difficult steps is Step 9, which calls us to make amends to anyone who has been harmed by our behavior. When I was in seminary, one of the professors drove me crazy with what I thought was inadequate teaching. I had taught in college and high school and believed I was entitled to assess this professor's teaching. My spiritual director asked if I was praying for the professor. "No, I am too angry," I said. "Well, pray for the ability to pray for him." I did, and in time I saw the professor differently. Prayer and humility offer powerful ways for us to build goodness within ourselves. Now I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 32. "Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ. For surely you have heard about him and were taught in him, as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up. As there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you." And the moving forward question for this Thursday: do you focus on building up, or do you spend more time in evil talk? Now the commentary for Friday, May 22nd, the day on which we commemorate Helena of Constantinople. It begins with a passage from Jeremiah 31, verse 31b and 33b. "I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts." Born in 246 in the Common Era, Helena, the mother of Constantine, is credited with discovering the true cross of Christ. According to various accounts, Helena discovered the hiding place of the three crosses that were used at the crucifixion of Jesus and the two thieves in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Imagine what it must have felt like to be in the presence of the true cross. But these words from Jeremiah remind us that we do not need to touch the true cross, because the new covenant is already in our hearts. Wherever we are and whoever we are, God in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is with us. Just as bread and wine are transformed in the Eucharist, so too, as followers of Jesus, we are transformed. While Helena had the experience of discovering the true cross, we are invited to discover God's presence wherever we go. And now I'll read from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 27 through 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. And the moving forward question for this Friday is, where have you experienced God's presence? The commentary for Saturday, May 23rd, begins with a passage from Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. In Dante's Inferno, hell is a place where punishment is perpetual and never-ending. It is the destination for those who remain determinedly unrepentant. The bleakness of this afterlife is inscribed on the entrance gate to hell. Abandon all hope, ye who enter here. Thanks be to God for grace and mercy. As Christians, we believe that when we make mistakes or lose our way, if we turn back to God, then the Almighty will remove our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. At the close of the sacramental rite of reconciliation of a penitent, when we have admitted our sins and sought forgiveness, the priest says, Now there is rejoicing in heaven, for you were lost and are found. You were dead and are now alive in Christ Jesus our Lord. With Christ and in Christ, hope is restored and life perpetual offered. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, have you participated in the sacrament of confession in your faith? Consider contacting your priest to schedule a time for confession. Now, as we near the end of this week and the end of this program, let's turn to Sunday, May 24th, the day of Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Acts 2, verse 3, Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. When I think of the divisions in this world, I pray that the day of Pentecost will come to all people, starting with me. The scripture says that Galileans and Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents from Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, and more were together speaking their native languages, and they understood one another. In other words, a group of people who spoke different languages and came from different places and saw the world and their place in it differently, all experienced a holy communion. They spoke to one another, and they talked about God's deeds of power. Pentecost is more than a history of a long-ago miracle. It is the source of hope and a map for all who follow Christ. Each Sunday we receive communion, but we are to be agents of spreading the good news on Monday and every day. Perhaps we can start by letting go of our labels of others and instead seek to see them as children of God. And now I'm going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last day it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the moving forward question for this Sunday, May 24th, the day of Pentecost in 2026, when has God spoken to you, and how can that enlarge the way that you see others? That's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me for the program today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.